Osio, Ostek, Salali Nagada. Good morning, everyone. I first want to say thank you for allowing me to do this. I'm not a preacher. But as you know, September 30th is coming up. It's the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. It's where we honor and remember the loss of children, their survivors, and their families that were impacted by residential schools. It is also Orange Shirt Day. This is a way to honor and to remember that every child matters. By wearing the color, it's a remembrance. It's based on a story, the true story of Phyllis Websad, she and her residential school experience. Phyllis was a little girl. Her grandmother, her kokum, gave her an orange shirt, which she loved the color of orange. She was so excited about going to school because in her mind and her perspective, she was gonna be taught the ways to be on a good path. And she was so excited in her childlike, just looking for this adventure and this in a good way, a positive way. But when she arrived at the residential school, she had to surrender her shirt. And this would begin what would be her residential school trauma, her survival story. And that story, that truth, has been passed down, and it will continue to be passed down as teaching to remember of history. And it's so that we can travel the good road, can live our lives in a good way. But that's what storytelling is. And it is about passing on history, especially in indigenous storytelling. And it's about the teachings of our ancestors, so we can travel that good way. So as I reread the stories of Jonah and the tribal member, which was really the creator, I started to look at who is the creator, who is God, who is that person. And so I thought about it being the Old Testament, the love, and what that means from a Hebrew word, chesed, which I was reading this Bible scholar, Daryl L. Bach, and it's a wrapping up in all the positive attributes of Creator God. His love, that covenant faithfulness, mercy, grace, kindness, loyalty. In short, it's acts of devotion, undeserved, and loving kindness that go beyond the requirements of duty. It's our Creator, our God, in Jonah's story, is slow to anger. So it was kind of humorous, if it could be, and sad at the same time. Jonah absolutely knows who the Creator is. He says that, and as a child, he's running away from that. He's going on a ship, he's getting swallowed, and the relentless part is, the encompassing part is the love of Creator who is pursuing him and won't stop pursuing him. And even though Jonah doesn't know how to share. And we've all been that way as children, right? He doesn't know how to share, and he doesn't want to share. He doesn't want to include the Ninevites. He wanted them, and he had maybe good reason. You know, based on his ancestry and his history, he wanted them gone and destroyed. They were his enemy, but he also knew who God was and his love. And so he was angry and stubborn to the point of choosing to die. He's like, just kill me now, let me die, you know? And here's the Creator still pursuing him. And he gives him some visual clues about his ancestry, you know, about raising this creation on the land, and then taking it away with, you know, a worm eating it. And I thought it was interesting, he was in the East watching this, and it's kind of how we all are, right? When we're digging in our heels and we don't want to change our mind. And the land of Nineveh, that community, they changed their mind, and they humbled themselves. They turned to face the Creator, and He was there facing them. And they chose relationship. They chose relationship on the land and all creation, including their animals. And so Creator in love, and who He is, reminded Jonah that He loved and included all creation. And that's who God is. It was humanity, us, that were angry and complaining and didn't want, and really selfish and inward, and that we thought we were the special ones, and there was a chosen children, but we have a Creator that included us all. And then I went to read the Creator Who Sets Free story. And I saw, and I could easily see, the seven grandfather teachings in that story with the tribal member. And also that was the Creator Who Sets Free. So the tribal member, he had invited all these workers to come in and be paid. He was honest. The tribal member, who is the Creator Who Sets Free, was honest about the pay scale agreement. He made a covenant. He made a treaty, an agreement with them. And he was honest about that. The tribal member, and he showed great humility. He showed great humility in his pay scale, as it was made clear that no one was worse or better or going to get paid more or less than anyone else working in the vineyard. And the tribal member showed respect because, regardless of time and space, he deferred to what he had already agreed to, his word, his law of justice and fairness in that pay. The tribal member kept his word and showed courage. It takes courage to say, come on in, I'm going to pay you this generous thing, I'm going to risk. The tribal member, the Creator Who Sets Free, took great risk. And he knew there were going to be, you know, unsavory, unsafe reactions and responses. And the workers, think about the workers coming in at the last, who were like shocked that they were coming in, and they immediately got paid the same wage. And of course, as the workers being included in that circle, coming in to do that work, they were angry and they were complaining. It took great courage of that tribal member to do that. But the tribal member that ran the vineyard also had great wisdom. He exercised judgment, and his generosity and his willingness to include anyone that in that time frame, anyone there that wanted to work. And he continued throughout the day till the last minute to pursue them in that love and wanting them. And he had great wisdom because he thought about their needs, workers standing there, not getting work, needing it. And he was willing. He thought about their needs, and that mattered to the tribal member. That matters to the Creator Who Sets Free. He did this with no fear, because he had no, and we don't know what it cost him, the tribal member, what he decided on a fair wage, or that wage, that generosity. He had no guarantees that the workers were going to really do the work or complete it. So, and that's the six of those seven grandfather teachings in that, and the reciprocal nature in that. And finally, the entire scripture reference was the truth. The truth was the Creator Who Sets Free. He's the truth. So I wanted to read from Algonquin, because we're on unceded territory, the Algonquins of Ontario, and it's unceded territory. I wanted to know what that seventh grandfather teaching meant to them, and I want to say it in their words. Truth, universal laws exist. The scientific axiom that says that for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction is not very different than the old sayings, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And what goes around comes around. It is wise to recognize these truths and accept them into our lives, thereby learning to work with them. Instead, however, modern society seems focused on corruption, continuously trying to defy the truth through improper conduct. These are the ones who see what they can get away with behind our backs. These are the ones who know how to work the system. For their impaired judgment, we all pay. This brings us back to the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. To the Creator who sets free, who has stated the truth will set us free. So the truth is, every child matters, includes us in that circle, because there's a balance of power. It's painful to see the truth. It's painful for us as children of God, because we were once children, and we've all been stubborn and angry and didn't want to share attention. We thought we were deserving of that. We must continue to change our minds. We must understand that we have been children, and we are the children of Creator. And to the Creator, every child is included, and every child matters. Wado, Chi Migwich, thank you.